We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, and because it's a new semester and a new year, we'll have a quick introduction to what we're doing. The Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, was one of the great rabbis who lived approximately 8 centuries ago. The Rambam, when he was young, was already a great Talmid Chacham, and he wrote a commentary on the Mishnah, and he wrote it so that the common folk could learn it. So he wrote it in the language of the time, which was Arabic. He was living in the Arabic countries. So he wrote it in Arabic, and what we have is a translation to Hebrew. The Rambam wrote introductions to different chapters of his commentary on the Mishnah, and those introductions are major works in their own right. Now, the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, we've already learned more than half of it. The Rambam has explained the tradition, the oral law, how it was passed down, the different components of the oral law, and how the Mishnah evolved, and how the Mishnah was compiled. And the Rambam has been explaining, among other things, he explained how prophecy works, and how Moshe taught the Mishnah to Am Yisrael, and how later prophets were accepted or not accepted, and what the power of a prophet is, and how this all pertains to the oral law. And now the Rambam has moved forward to explain to us the concept of Gemara and what the Gemara encompasses. And the Rambam explains that the Gemara really encompasses four things. One is the explanation of the Mishnah. Two is the ruling, bottom line, from the words of the Mishnah. Three is to tell us the new things that were derived in later generations from the Mishnah. And the fourth thing that the Gemara encompasses are the drashot and what we might call medrash that is in the Gemara. And the Rambam has been explaining the importance of the medrash and the depth of the medrash. So we'll quickly review what we did previous weeks in this fourth section of the Talmud when it comes to Medrash. And the Rambam had said that, in essence, when we read these fascinating stories in the Gemara, and the Gemara seems to tell us things that seem just fantastic, and they cannot be understood literally, we have to know that there's great depth to these words in the Gemara, and these things on the surface, you don't understand what the rabbis mean to say. But in truth, in their depth, they are concealing the true wisdom of the Torah. They didn't present it in a way that everyone could understand. But if you really want to understand the depths of Jewish philosophy and our understanding of how God runs the world, those secrets are written in code in these fantastic stories in the Gemara. Agadah is included in this. Meaning when he says drash, he's talking about Agadah. Now, he means don't understand it literally, but there is depth. And the rabbis worded it this way because they didn't want everyone to access it. So he says when you look at it simply, it seems like they impossible. What they're talking about is illogical. So why did they present it this way? Firstly, he says, the reason they presented it this way was to sharpen the minds of the students and to also draw them in. You say a fantastic story, people are interested in listening. And furthermore, so that people who are not fit for understanding these concepts, they won't. They're going to be beyond them. And the truth is that in order to understand these concepts, if they'd spell them out, the average person would not be capable of understanding them. And that's why our rabbis discuss the secrets of the Torah and that we don't reveal them to the average person, because they're not at a stage where they can understand it. A simple example, my daughter last year, 2 years old, she went to a gun that was on the second floor. And we'd go on the elevator every morning and she'd want to push the button. So we'd enter the elevator and she'd say, "Let me push the button," and I'd say, "Fine." and she'd go to push the ground floor button. So I'd say, no, push floor two. Now I'd bring her to Gan, and my wife would pick her up from Gan. So every time my wife would pick her up, she'd let her push the button, and then they were on the second floor, she'd have to push the ground floor button. I'd walk into the elevator with her, and she'd say, I want to push a button. I say, fine. She goes to push the ground floor button. I say, no, you have to push floor number two. And she says, but mommy says you have to push this one. So I tried explaining to her once, didn't work. I tried a different way, didn't work. I tried a third time, didn't work. Eventually I realized it's not going to work. So every morning we'd enter the elevator, and she knew I had a reason why I thought she should push a different button. So every morning she'd look at me and say, mommy says to push ground floor, and push the ground floor. And I'd tell her, you're such a good girl, you listen to mommy and push the second floor. Eventually you realize, beyond her, she doesn't understand it. It's not going to work. So I just, every morning she'd look at me hesitantly, push and say, mommy says this button. And every morning we'd go through the same ritual and I'd say, you're such a good girl, you listen to mommy. Fine, what I'm going to argue with her, fine. By the same token, sometimes when we deal with deep philosophies, we're not yet ready to understand them. We can't understand them. If a guy stands up 7-8 centuries ago and tells the world, the world is not revolving around Earth, the world's revolving around the sun. We know what happened to that guy. They killed him. The world wasn't ready to hear things. So by the same token, Chazal tell us that Chazal had truths, but the people weren't ready to hear them. And Chazal knew that if they spelled them out, the world would not accept them. So Chazal said, we have to pass on the tradition to our students. We're going to encode it in the Gemara. We'll present it in a way that will sound fascinating and interesting, but at the same time impossible. No one's going to take us literally. And the students, those who are fit to understand these truths, they'll have a tradition which we will pass on from rabbi to student as to how to understand the depths of these stories. The Gemara even tells us stories that rabbis weren't willing to teach other rabbis. They felt they weren't ready yet to hear the depths of the truths of the Torah about how the world works, how creation works, how the constellations work, etc. And when we encounter these things in Chazal, we have to recognize that it's not that they were saying ridiculous things, but that we don't understand what they're saying. The Rambam gave us examples of this, he illustrated the point. Now, the Rambam explains how if you try to explain to a person the size of the sun, and he's accustomed to just seeing that little bull in the sky, he's going to tell you, you're nuts. I see the sun isn't so big. And only after you sit down and teach him all the laws of understanding astronomy, and you give him many, many classes, can you explain to him that it's distant, and start explaining to him the size of the sun. And even then he'll tell you, well, how can you estimate the size? And then you have to teach him more arithmetic and more astronomy, and then you could explain to him how we can estimate the size of the sun. So the Rambam said, after you teach him all of that, and after he understands it, then he'll reach a point where just like he knows there exists a sun because he sees it, he also knows the size of the sun. And then he accustoms himself to understanding this concept. But initially, when you come to this person and you tell him, look, you see that little ball? That's a huge ball. And I'll tell you its size. He's going to tell you, you're nuts. I see it. And how could you know what size it is? It's so far away. Initially, he'll be convinced that you don't know what you're talking about. And as much as you'll try to explain to him, I do, he'll tell you, no, you don't, and he won't be willing to listen. By the same token, if our sages would present us with the truths that they had on tradition, we'd sit here and say, no, that's illogical, it's wrong. We wouldn't be open to hearing them. Just like the person is convinced that he's right when he looks at the ball of the sun and he says, you're wrong, you can't tell me what the size of that ball is. It's too far away, you can't estimate. But he's convinced he's right until you explain to him all the laws, how you derived it. By the same token, a person isn't fit to understanding the truths of the Torah, the depths of Torah philosophy, unless he's had many, many, many years of training and learning, and only then can he see it and start understanding what was being said. Ordinarily, you tell a person what the Torah philosophy has to say, these depths, these secrets that the rabbis hid, he's going to be convinced that they're wrong. He's just like the guy looking at the ball of the sun. We're up to page Ayin, the third line, right after the period. We're doing the the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah in the Rambam La'am edition, the Mosan Rav Kook Rambam La'am edition. Hine ze yuchal liyot, says the Rambam, this can happen, v'anachnu lo hiskamnu, and even though we haven't agreed, al ha'ish shalnuhu ze ha'inyan sheyeh chaser min ha'chokhmot ha'acherot. When we gave this example, we were talking about a person that knew everything, just didn't know astronomy. So we said, if you fill him in on astronomy, you fill him in on the mathematical equations that he was missing, so then he'll be able to understand this. We're assuming, in our example, that it's a person that knows everything but astronomy. And we're assuming that he's got a good mind, and he's got a good nature, and he's a smart, smart person. So we've assumed all of that in our example. And not only that, but the example that we gave was a simple mathematical equation, how you figure out the size of the sun. And that's only one step it's only one thing that you have to learn when you advance in learning godly concepts. So that's, the Rambam said, we gave an example which everyone agrees with, and our example was only one step in coming close to starting to understand deep Torah philosophy. Kal vachomer, we can say fortiori, certainly, yiyah inyan b'mi she'en lo chokhma klal, certainly you're going to have difficulty when you speak to a person who's not smart at all, v'lo argil nafsho b'derech midrachei chokhmot ha'limudiyot, and he hasn't become accustomed to learning in ways of logic, ways of true study, aval haya noso misechel imo lesechel ishto, but rather he went, the Rambam uses he coins a phrase, he went from the mind of his mother to the mind of his wife. Meaning he went from being born to being married to moving on in life. He never had time to study. So the Rambam calls it, he went from the mind of his mother to the mind of his wife. So he never had time to study anything. He just, from the time he was born, he went straight to marriage. And when you ask him something that's godly, something that's really hidden within these drashot that our sages said, en safek shen rechokot beinav, undoubtedly it's going to seem strange to him, kichok hashamayim min haaretz, like the distance from heaven to earth, v'yiktzal sichlo lavin davar mehem, and it's going to be beyond his mind to understand anything of the true philosophies that our sages were saying. V'al ken, and therefore, ra'uy shenadun adrashot ha'en lechav zchut, what we have to say is, when we read these words of our sages, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt, and we have to try to look deeply into them. And we shouldn't be quick to say, ah, they spoke nonsense. You read, the Gemara tells you all kinds of fascinating stories. We gave an example last time. They were traveling in the sea. They got off on an island. They started exploring the island. And suddenly the island started moving. And it was this huge fish. They discovered that they were walking on this huge fish. And everyone drowned but Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Okay, fascinating story. Where do we have such a huge fish? How come no one's seen it if it's so big that they could walk around like an island? So it's a fascinating story. It's not to be understood literally. There are many fascinating stories in the Gemara. So the Rambam says, yes, when you read them, on the surface, they don't make sense. Granted. But you have to know that there's depth. So give them the benefit of the doubt. They were intelligent people. They weren't talking nonsense. We have to delve into it and try to understand what they're saying. Don't be quick to say, it doesn't make sense. Aval k'sheyachak b'neinu davar midivriyem, but when we encounter words of the rabbis, and we find them to be totally counterintuitive. So we have to become accustomed to learning wisdom till we reach a point where we could understand it. And this goes back to the point that was asked by David last night, that David said, I don't understand. You remember he had a question he didn't understand. So I said, notice the Rambam says, the Rambam isn't talking about a story in the Torah like he was talking about. But the Rambam says, you don't understand. Don't say, oh, I do understand. Say, I don't understand. I'll keep studying. And I hope eventually I will understand. We'll continue studying. And hopefully we'll reach a point that our hearts will be capable of understanding these great concepts. Sharecha chachamim, the sages, even though they really wanted to learn, v'tov ha'rayon v'ha'yegia, and they were very intelligent and they worked very hard, v'chevrat ha'lomdim ha'nichbadim, and they were learning in an academy, they had friends that they had really good counterparts to learn with, v'alchakat ha'olam b'chol ma sheyesh bo, and they were completely engrossed in their learning. They distanced themselves from all worldly things, so they were in prime form for understanding these concepts. Nonetheless, hayum yachsin lachisaron lenafsham kshem marichim nafshotam. They used to say, "Oh, look how lacking we are," when they'd evaluate themselves. We're holding page Ayin Aleph, the second line, when they'd compare themselves lotam chachamim shekadmu lehem, to the rabbis that preceded them. And that's what our sages said, libam shel rishonim kefitcho shel ulam, the hearts of the earlier generations, and they were talking about only a few generations beforehand. They're talking about rabbis who had lived 100 years earlier, and they said their hearts were like the entrance to the ulam, a wide entrance, masses could come in through that door. Veshel achronim, and the later generations, they said, we are afilu kemachat tzidkit eino, we're not even like the eye of a needle. It's a needle that you sew sex with. We're not even like the eye of that needle. So they said, when they were comparing themselves to 100 years earlier, they said, we don't come close. Their hearts were wide like a huge entrance, and our hearts are not even like the eye of a needle. So the Rambam says, if that was then, in the time of the Mishnah, the rabbis were comparing one another. I think it was rabbis in the Mishnah. Maybe it's in the Gemara, but I'm pretty sure it's in the Mishnah. So the Rambam says, how much more so us? We've had a millennium pass since then, in the Rambam's time. That wisdom has completely ceased and become something foreign to us, something distant from us. As God foretold with His prophet Isaiah, and the wisdom of His wise men will be lost, and the understanding of His people who have understanding will be hidden. That the pasuk really singled out four things that each of us is going to have. Bechulshat asechel, a weak mind. Bechozek ata'ava, and our desire is going to be strong. This is the Rambam talking, right? This is almost 1,000 years ago. Batzlut bevakashat ha'chokma, and we're lazy when it comes to seeking wisdom. Uzrizut bevetz olam, and we're swift to look for the benefits of the world. So we have all the lackings, says the Rambam, in our generation, 800 years ago. Imagine what he'd say about the 21st century. I think he'd call us animals, not even animals. Alba'at shefatav haraim. The Rambam says that we have the four terrible plagues, so to speak. Ech lo nismocha chisaron lenafshotenu kshnarich otanu aleihem. How could we compare ourselves to them without recognizing how lacking we are, says the Rambam about himself and his people. And because the rabbis knew this was what was coming, and really everything they say is clear, clean. There's no impurities in what they're saying. That's why our sages warned us not to mock their words. And our sages said, whoever mocks the words of the sages, nidon tachat, he will get judged in the world to come in boiling dung. And there is no dung that boils more than foolishness, says the Rambam. The foolishness that leads a person that deceives a person into mocking the words of the sages. Valken, and therefore, says the Rambam, lo timtza l'olam marchik divrehem, you'll never find someone who distances the words of the rabbis, ela ish mevakesh ta'ava. You will notice that the people who mock the words of the rabbis are always the people who are seeking out to fulfill their desire. And this is a very fundamental point what the Rambam is telling us. Very often, we feel like, I'm questioning this philosophically. And the Rambam in other places expands on this. He says the reason why people will not accept the Torah is because they have their own desire. A person wants to go and live with women. A person wants to go and have his desire and work on Shabbos. Our desire leads us to argue philosophically. But the secret behind the reason why people will argue philosophically and not accept the words of the Torah or the words of the rabbi, says the Rambam, and here he mentions in passing, in other places he expands on it, is always their desire for the physical. The Rambam, in one place, I think he stresses the desire for women even. So the desire, that's the prohibition that most people find most difficult. You can't do whatever you want. And even when you're married, 2 weeks out of the month, you're permitted. 2 weeks out of the month, you can't even touch. That's not easy. So that's something that everyone has a hard time with. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. So the rabbis taught us that. There's no person who can say he's clean. Doesn't matter if he's a rabbi, doesn't matter if he isn't a rabbi. Everyone has a hard time with that. It's not an easy commandment. The question is, does a person control his desire, or does the desire control him? So the Rambam says, anytime you see someone who's mocking the words of the rabbis, or distancing what they'll say, you'll notice that he's a person that is running after his desire. And he puts a stress on the physical pleasures. And he hasn't enlightened his heart with the things that really give light. And because the rabbis knew that what they were saying is really true, they spent their days, they spent their life delving into the words of the Torah. And our rabbi said, a person should spend his nights and part of his day learning Torah. And they said, that is the purpose of wisdom, and that's the way it is. Maybe we'll just finish this paragraph. Yeah, we're on page Ayin Bet. We'll take another 3 minutes. Sure. Our sages taught us, "En la kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo el adal damot shel halacha bilvad." Our sages said, from the time of the destruction, where does God find a resting place? Where you have 4 footsteps of halacha. Dalet amos is considered a person's domain. What's my domain? I'm sitting here. Oh, 4 amos around me. So that's my domain. So you'll ask me, is it 4 this way and 4 that way, 4 this way? Is it a diameter or a radius? That's an argument among the rabbis. So wasn't that your question? So the our sages said, that's where God rests, within the 4 footsteps of halacha. By the way, if you want to know what an amma is a footstep. An amma is really this. But our sages told us the average person, when he takes a step, advances an amma. So whenever you want to evaluate how much is an amma, think of a footstep. Yeah?
The size from here to here. The exact same as your foot.
Not your foot. Your footstep, the amount you advance. Think about it.
So here is the same size as your foot.
Yeah, but okay. I'll tell you what. At the end of class, we'll do an experiment. You'll walk from one side of the room to the other side of the room. We'll count the footsteps. We'll measure your amma, and we'll divide it, and we'll see how it comes out. Fine? And then we'll think about if it worked or it didn't work and why. Let's see. What? Yeah, I measured it too. That's why I'm willing to. I did this once. I was also troubled like Ari. When I learned this, I said, hey, that doesn't work. And then I experimented and it did work, and then later we'll see why. It also, right, initially when I thought of it, I didn't think it would work either.
והשב לבך לזה הדבר
שאם תסתכל אותו על פשוטו, says the Rambam, and take note of this thing, because if you look at it just simply, תמצאנו רחוק מאוד מן האמת, you'll find the words of the rabbis very distant from the truth. כאילו ארבע אמות של הלכה בלבד היא התכלית הנדרשת. The rabbi said, God has only 4 footsteps of halacha in this world. So that sounds like that's the whole purpose of the world, 4 footsteps of halacha. And God couldn't care less about any other wisdom in the world, any other thing that you can figure out, God isn't interested in. Only halacha. That's what the simple reading of this says. So what are you going to say about the time of Noah and his children? Shem, Aver. They didn't have halacha, right? So, what are we going to say? God had no portion in the world. There were no 4 footsteps of halacha. No one had halacha. There wasn't Torah yet. So God had no portion in the world. He wasn't around at all. But if you analyze this intelligently, you'll discover that there is an amazing aspect of wisdom in there. And you'll find that this sentence that our sages said really encompasses a great rule when it comes to the depths of knowledge. And I'll explain it, says the Rambam. So this will be an example, says the Rambam. I'm going to take this example, this sentence of Chazal, and explain its depth. And from here, you'll be able to compare to other instances that you encounter where Chazal say things that seem extraordinary. And therefore, take note, says the Rambam. I will now take one example of the words of Chazal, explain it, explain its depths, and then, after you understand whatever level of depth you can get to in this explanation, you'll be able to compare other words of Chazal, and from here you'll learn to the others, and Mezachim next week, we'll see how the Rambam explains this sentence of Chazal.